If you've got your Bible, will you turn with me to the seventh chapter of the book of Luke? Luke chapter 7. The title of my message this morning is called Me Too. Me Too. Me Too. There has to be a bit of Me Too about us today. Can you say amen? I want to read a story from the seventh chapter of Luke that really took my attention because I'm always looking for that little bit extra for God to notice me too. Maybe it's because I grew up in abject poverty maybe there was some sort of deficit in my life. I don't know what it was, but you know, I've always seen myself as like a bit hungrier than a lot of people for God, for the blessing of God, for the things of God, for the manifestation of his presence, his power, his anointing in my life. And so I'm always looking for that little bit that will get me out further ahead, that if I see something happening that's great in somebody else's life, I don't just want to celebrate what God is doing in their life, but I want it to happen to me too. Does that make sense? Say, me too. Yeah, it's a good thing to say with God. When you hear a testimony, you know, someone had a breakthrough. Somebody had a debt cancellation. Somebody had, you know, a blessing. Something happened that just, you know, propelled their ministry or their business or their children to the next level. And I say, wow, with one hand I'm going hallelujah and the other one I'm going me too. Amen. Say it out loud. Me too.
Me too.
Yeah, I want to get this into you this morning. Look at this. Look at this. Luke chapter 7, and this is verse number 1. When he had completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. Anyone coming to Capernaum next February? Oh, yes, Jesus. Let me explain why it's important. Verse 2. And a certain centurion's slave, who was highly regarded by him, was sick and about to die. When he heard about Jesus, now imagine for a second what this centurion had heard about Jesus. He's got a sick slave who's obviously very important in his house. And it's interesting, you study the history of slavery. Back then, slavery meant something then that it doesn't mean now. When you had slaves in your house back then, they were almost like an extension of the family. They didn't have the full benefits of the family, but they were very much part of. In fact, you know, I've been to Ghana and Kenya a lot in my ministry, and I've seen families up close, and I've seen people that they call help that the Bible would have called slaves. Not in the derogatory sense. They weren't shackled and chained and forced to work in a plantation or anything like that. But they were very much help. And, you know, there's no employment contract. There's no hours. Like, the person lives in the house. If they want money to go out, they get given money to go out. That's called help. But back then in the Roman times, they would have been called slaves, right? So this guy, he's got a slave. And the slave is very sick. Now, look at this. When he heard about Jesus, so he must have heard that Jesus was a healing Jesus. Right? When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his slave. Now, listen to the reasoning here. When they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation." Isn't that interesting? Anyone here love the nation of Israel? Anyone here not love the nation of Israel? It's really important that you know where you have to stand concerning the nation of Israel for the blessing of God to be on your life. Doesn't mean you love everything they do, especially if you believe everything the BBC comes out with. Oh, that's complete nonsense, 99% of it. And in fact, one of the reasons that you should go to Israel and see with your own two eyes is so that then the next time you watch one of those news bulletins, what was it that one of those guys said? The BBC said it doesn't stand for British Broadcasting Corporation. It stands for Building Britain's Caliphate. Hey, mommy. Good preaching, Pastor P. Say it again. Come back another time. I'll say it again. For he loves our nation. Isn't that interesting? That there's something about loving what God loves that puts you on his side. It's the same in my house. You know, I'm an Arsenal fan. Hallelujah for my sins and Jesus. You are. Thank you, sir. It's a good choice. Good choice. Sorry, we're just going to have some self-congratulation here at the... Chelsea fan. Now, I'm an Arsenal fan, and I told my children, I said, guys, I said, you can support any team you like, as long as it's Arsenal. If you do support another team, then we have to put you in the shed to live. You can still stay in my house, but you have to live in the back garden shed. And I said to them, what team do you have? Arsenal, Daddy. I said, thank you, guys. Well done. I'm more coercive than Ibby. Have you noticed? You think she's coercive? Oh, my goodness me. Anyway, so there's certain things. But when my children like what I like, when they love what I love, there's something about it that touches my heart more. I don't know why, but just as a dad, that's just the way it is, you know? And there's something about that. You look at these guys, they're making, what are they doing? They're creating an excuse for Jesus to come and heal the servant too. This centurion, when he heard that Jesus was a healing Jesus, he said, me too. And what did he do? He rustled up a few people that he thought would have the ear of Jesus more than he did, right? Because it says in verse 3, when he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders. So he's thinking, he's sitting there thinking, as a Roman centurion, he's an occupying force, right? And he's thinking to himself, now, my servant needs healing. I'm going to get, I need to do everything that I can do to get my servant healed, right? He's a healing Jesus, me too. And he goes and he finds some Jewish elders thinking, you know what, this guy is going to love Jews more than he is me. He's going to listen to them. I'm an occupying force. These people are locals. I'm going to get some of the locals to go. And look what the locals say. He loves our nation, number one, and it was he who built us our synagogue. Isn't that interesting? When I read this scripture, I said, wow, there's something about loving the nation that I don't quite understand, but as for me, me too. And I purposed in my heart, and that's where the idea of investing in Israeli government bonds came from in terms of the ministry here, in creating a legacy to be a blessing, not only to the nation of Israel, but that when God is looking for people to bless, he will find us because we're saying,
me too.
So we can create a me too atmosphere around ourselves. Smith Wigglesworth said something very powerful. He said, there's something about God that will cause him to cross over 1 million people to find the one who is living and acting by faith. Faith pleases God so much that he will pass over 1 million people to locate you because there's something in your heart that says, yes, me too. And this is what this guy is effectively exploiting. He's worthy. Listen to what the Jewish people are saying to Jesus. He is worthy. As for all these other people, can you imagine back then how many people would have been crying out for healing? There's no such thing as a doctor. The doctors would have butchered you. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? Bible says she spent 12 years at the hands of physicians and didn't grow better, but only grew worse. I mean, they chopped her money every way but Sunday. Oh, drink this soup. You know, I've been places where there's no doctor for 2.5 hours. And they'll go out, you know, if you fall sick or anything like that, they'll go out and they'll dig some roots and, like, you know, pull some leaves off a tree and, like, I don't know, shave a goat or something, and they'll put it in a stew, and then they'll boil the stew and they'll say, now, drink this. And they say, okay, thank you. You drink it, and they say, now, $60. For what? For the risk of being poisoned. That was it. And you see, back then, like, doctors were the same, but worse. Worse. At least some of that is local knowledge and, you know, so-and-so recovered drinking it, so let's do it again and try and make it work. But this thing, I mean, this is where he is. He's a healing Jesus. So if you're sick, what should be coming out of your mouth? Me too. Say it out loud. Me too. There's something about God. I want to get hold of whatever God has got for me with both hands. I remember so much. It marked my life so much. I went to see my godmother in Highgate when I did my first communion, because I was raised in the Catholic Church. I'm half Irish, so you've got to be Catholic at least once. And I went to my godmother's house, and she pulled out a fiver, one of those big, you know, when 5 quid meant something. You know, the Duke of Wellington was on the back. And it's like beautiful blue writing. Do you remember those? I promise to pay the bearer on production the sum of £5. And then the chief cashier's signature. It was like it meant something. And you see, my dad had taught us, for some weird, stupid reason, my dad had taught us that it's polite if somebody wants to give you money that you say, oh, no, it's okay. So I had to do this because my dad's watching out the corner of his eye. And so I'm there literally, and she said, oh, I wanted to give you this for your communion. I said, oh, no, it's okay, auntie. No, it's okay. And she said, okay, then, and put it back in her purse. Dude, never again. Never. 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 I don't even care what it is. Someone gives me a box or a thing. I just wanted to. Thank you. Don't care what it is. I mean, you know, it could be ticking. I don't care. I'm going to, like, take it and like, open it. Like, and thank you very much. Yeah, God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm not falling for that one again. Why not? Me too. Jesus' mighty name. Me too. Me too. Me too. For he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue. Now you think about the enemies of Jesus that used to hang around the synagogues. The Pharisees. They were the ones who ran the synagogue network. But they are thinking of any excuse at all to try and get Jesus to do what this centurion wants, which is to heal his servant. Hallelujah. May God give us some me too in the name of Jesus. There's something about it, you know. Christianity, I've noticed this. Christianity should never be passive. Ever. Christianity should be always active. If you're in a passive relationship with God, then there's nothing there for you. It's like an empty shell. And life shouldn't be that way. Jesus said, I'll come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And you know what I said? Me too. In Jesus' mighty name. Look at this. Look at this again. Another story that God gave me this morning as I was studying it out. Mark chapter 10. One of my favorite stories here in the Bible, but there's so many that we could look at today. And the principle is the same. They heard something, they did something, they've been written in the gospel as an example to us so that our answer can be me too. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Verse number 46 of Mark chapter 10. And they came to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus, there's something about hearing about Jesus. You know, the world needs to hear about him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more. What was he saying? "Jesus, son of David, I've heard about you healing. Me too. Me too. I want whatever God's got for me. I know, hey, what does the Bible say? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Me too. Plans to give you a future. Me too. And a hope. Me too. Every single blessing. That's what I, when I read something in scripture, I don't care if he, preached from Jeremiah in the 29th chapter. They were about to go into exile in Babylon. So that's about 580 years before Christ. So you could get 1,000 theologians that would say, "Oh yes, but pastor, you must understand that these words were written by Jeremiah talking to the people of Israel in 586 BC. And do you know what I would say? I don't care. Me too. Yes. Because what is your head knowledge going to do that my faith can't? Good preaching. Hallelujah to Jesus. Verse 48, and many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Jesus, son of David, me too." Oh, may God put some "me too" in your spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that every single testimony that you'll ever hear in this house will become a provocation to you.
Amen.
That you can't sit there passively and watch other people get the blessing and life pass you. I know it's got to be me too.
Amen.
And there's a difference, you see, that you think about it, that there's certain types, that there's something about faith that makes your me too different to other people's me too. You know, there's people, I know I pass people on the street and they're begging for money and it's like, me too. And there's something that just causes me to walk on by. It's not that I'm not a giver, it's that I'm very, I give on purpose. I don't give incidentally, I give purposefully. And specifically into situations, into people, into lives that the Holy Spirit shows me. That's spirit-led giving. That's different to shelling out all your coppers and then suddenly when God wants you to give something, you haven't got it to give. May God give you wisdom and understanding in that. Say me too. Hallelujah. You know what the name amen means? The word amen means me too. Because you're saying so be it. Yeah. Me too. With long life he'll satisfy you in fullness of days. And he who shall behold his salvation. Me too. Hallelujah. May God inject some of it into you in Jesus' mighty name. I love this. Verse 48. They were sternly telling him to be quiet. Have you ever sternly been told anything? Sternly. You blind person, get back in your box. That's what they were saying to this guy. And he's saying, stuff the box. Me too. Somebody tries you to put you in a box. Stand on the box and preach from it in Jesus' mighty name. He kept crying out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Look at 49. And Jesus did what? Stop. You read the book of Mark. One of the great things about faith is that it causes Jesus to stop what he's doing and pay attention to you. I love that. There's something about the me too that you can carry that will cause the Lord to stop right in his tracks and turn. There's something about it. You see, Jesus, as he's walking through his ministry, right, he's very sensitive, but he's not sensitive in the realm that we are sensitive in. You know, many times we're sensitive in the realm of the natural. He was sensitive in the realm of the spiritual. So that he's listening on a different wavelength. He's listening for something that he can act on. He's listening for something that he can actually put to work and turn around. And you watch what he does. When you hear that meter, it's like, boom! Something goes off in the spirit, the Bible says, and Jesus stopped and said, call him here. I love this. So they called the blind man to him, saying, take courage. Now, the same people in the previous verse that were telling him, shut your face, are now saying, cheer up. Take courage. Stand up. He's calling for you. Wow. Wow. May every opposition to you become your cheerleaders. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's something about can-do Christianity that causes hope and faith to come alive on the inside of you so that you become that unstoppable force. And there's something about it when you make up your mind, when you purpose in your heart that you are going to get and live everything that Jesus has gotten for you already. There's something about your me too in the realm of the spirit causes God to take attention and to call you to him. Look at the next verse, verse number 50. Throwing aside his cloak. Now that doesn't mean much to us, but if you imagine that this blind man had a white stick and a dog, this cloak is the exact representation back then. They didn't have white sticks and dogs back then. They had cloaks, a stripy blue and white cloak that said effectively, I am a blind person, please give. So this man, right, this is the equivalent, okay, of a blind man in today's day and age breaking his stick in two and shooting his dog and then walking up to Jesus. He's thrown away everything, every symbol of blindness. May you throw away every symbol of your can't-do-ness in the name of Jesus. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Now look at this next verse, verse number 51. I love this. God challenged me today, this week. He said, this is the next challenge for your ministry. Now, you know that those of you that have followed my ministry over the last, 10, 12, 13 years, that God put me on a supernatural journey whereby, you know, his anointing has been very, very strong on me in certain situations for healing, for miracles, for deliverance, for prophetic words. I mean, stuff that came out of my mouth that I wish it was like some Bugs Bunny cartoon that I could just roll it back in because like the can't-do-ness of what I was saying was so strong, like, and the chances of ridicule were so big if it didn't come to pass that I'm thinking, God, what have I just said? And yet the Lord has brought it to pass. That's the kind of journey I've been on, right? And this is the challenge that God issued to me. Answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, here's the challenge, boyo, next time. He said, because you see, what I would do in that situation, I would say, oh, sir, okay, praise God. What would you like Jesus to do for you? And the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to carry a responsibility for your anointing. He said, when I tell you, he said, your question has got to be not what do you want Jesus to do for you, is what do you want me to do for you? Do you get the difference? Because then if it doesn't happen, YouTube's finest bloopers. Do you see what I mean? So there's a level of risk that God is calling me to take in ministry that I've not taken before. And he said this, he said, you see, it's because of the anointing on you. What was Jesus doing there, right? People would say, well, Jesus was the Son of God. No, the Bible says he laid aside his majesty and became, he took on the form of a man and humbled himself. So the only thing that Jesus Christ had to go on was that anointing that he received at his baptism to be able to do the signs and wonders that he did. And it's the same with us. It's not us that does these things. It's the anointing of God on us. It's the Holy Spirit on us that causes us. I remember one particular example that still, every time the photo flashes up, you know these Facebook anniversary things that come up. If you've put a photo up, then it reminds you that, oh, you know, 5 years ago you put this photo up on Facebook. Do you want to reshare it again? You know those kind of things? Am I telling the truth? Yeah? Okay. And there's one picture that I took, and it was of a bunch of crutches on the platform in the stadium in Mauritius that I was helping with Pastor Dil Kumar. And there was a guy, a 19-year-old guy wearing a blue T-shirt who'd had a motorcycle accident, and his ankle had been crushed. And he was told that he'd be 8 weeks in this cast kind of thing, and that he literally, he's on crutches and he can't put weight on the thing because it's got to heal properly, right? Now, I'm in the crowd anointing people with oil and praying for them. And I just, you know, I prayed for the guy, anointed him with oil, and then I carried on because, like, there was probably, I don't know, probably about 8,000-9,000 people in this football ground in Mauritius. And so anyway, I've anointed him. About 15 seconds later, I'm passing on. I prayed about 8-9 people more after that. The next thing, I hear this shout. And all I see is one crutch that's been, like, lifted up as a trophy. And then the other crutch is running because this guy's got this other crutch and he's running around this football ground in Mauritius. And everyone's like, hey, hallelujah, praise God. And it's like, wow. So anyway, it came to the testimony time. And the guy, basically, he'd been told that he's got, you know, he's got to have this cast 8 weeks. And then they'll do another one, like a smaller plaster one that has to be another 3 months, right? Now, he's 2 weeks into this process. And God has healed him. He said the way he felt it, happened, he said it was like being electrocuted. And then suddenly he's just running off and, like, bang, you know, and he's still got the cast on and that kind of thing. And in fact, they didn't tell him to take the cast off because now he's using it as a shoe because he hasn't got, like, a shoe on thing. So he's walking around, but the crutches are gone. And he says, I can, you know, I can do everything I couldn't. And you can see his toes wiggling as they're interviewing him and everything like that. And it's like, wow, God, you are awesome. Those things, when they happen, it's like it marks your ministry. You can't be the same after stuff like that. It just changes you. When God's, you know, when you've seen the greatness of God like that. But when I read this scripture, the Lord challenged me even more. He says, now, there's certain times when you're going to be praying and you know, and that anointing is on you, and you know God is going to do something. And he said, this is what you've got to say. What do you want me to do for you? That's a whole nother level of responsibility. Praise God. But it's by the name of Jesus Christ and by faith in his name that these things happen. May you get some me too for your life and ministry. I'm speaking to somebody. I don't know whether it's by social media or whether you're in the congregation or whatever, anything like that. But, you know, may a supernatural ministry come alive on the inside of you in the name of Jesus. May that Me Too thing hit you right now in Jesus' mighty name. May you rise to your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Close your eyes right now, church. I just want to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I know there's a Me Too thing that you want people to grab and for it to come alive on the inside of them today. I know, Lord God, when faith has been imparted into hearts, in Jesus' mighty name, whatever that Me Too thing is grabbing on the inside of them right now, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, may it come alive. May it come to life in Jesus' name. May lives be changed. May destinies be shaped because of that Me Too thing, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you plant and transmit your anointing into lives. Father, I thank you that there's something about the voice of faith. There's something about that faith when it comes out of my mouth, Lord God, and faith comes alive like fire lighting on the inside of your people. Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name, let that be the Me Too anointing that comes on them, Heavenly Father. If you did it for me, you can do it for them, Father. All I said, Lord God, when I saw the sick being healed, all I said was Me Too. When I saw people who were dead come to life, all I said, Father, was Me Too. When I saw people's lives being changed by the preaching of your word, Father, all I said was Me Too. And somehow you heard from heaven. May that be the testimony and the portion of your people today who say Me Too. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. My prayer from today is that you'll have a testimony. That your life will no longer be just two-dimensional. That third dimension, that dimension of faith, would kick into your life as you say, Me Too, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord God.